Well, you know, once this is gone, it kind of turns up the pressure. It's no longer like a theoretical exercise. We are still in, you know, the midst of a COVID-19 pandemic. There has been a general trend downward in the positive percentage of cases in Wisconsin. But, you know, this is going to be around for a while. I think people are pretty well aware of that. It's even if cases are trending downward now, this is not something that's going to disappear. And so it's all very real now. You know, there's this still exists, and the framework that exists before to regulate it on a statewide level is not there. You know, one thing that we've talked about before, which seems like a possibility as this develops, is if the state does not have a statewide stay-at-home order, you could start to see now counties decide that they need to get involved, and we may get to learn, you know, the extent of the power of counties to issue orders to protect public health in the face of COVID-19. Because even if Governor Evers and Republican lawmakers do reach a deal, which they have not shown many signs that they're about to do, at least so far, it could take time to put that in place if you go through the rulemaking process. And Evers' administration has said that's a cumbersome process and that it could take, they thought, 20 days to issue a new rule. Republicans, a lawyer who argued for Republicans when this case was in oral argument, said 12 days. You know, neither of those is tomorrow. So if there's nothing in place, what happens? It could be that locals step in.
Well, here you go, Sean. Joe Parisi, Dane County executive, has tweeted that the Public Health Commission of Dane County has issued a local public health order to keep the guidelines in place throughout Dane County through May 26th. So they were pretty quick to move. Is this a thing we're going to have? We're going to have a red county, blue county, some extend these things, some let them drop?
It could be. I mean, you know, for Dane County to step in quickly like that, it gives you a sign of, I guess, what we're going to have to watch for over the next few hours, next few days. And, you know, if there's no statewide order, you could see counties issuing and dropping their own orders depending on what the situation is like on the ground. I mean, you know, this is an outbreak that there tend to be hot spots that we didn't necessarily see coming from time to time. And I think Brown County was a hot spot a few weeks ago. There have been higher numbers recently in Kenosha. And so, you know, maybe that is the future that we have to get to know here if there's not a statewide order.
You're listening to special coverage here on Wisconsin Public Radio. The state Supreme Court ruled today in a 4-3 decision to overturn the Evers administration's Safer at Home order in the state. You can join the conversation with your reactions at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this decision? Glad to see it happen. Disappointed in the decision? Do you think something needs to take place sooner, if not later? If you are a business owner who had been closed in part because of these safer at home orders, what do you do now? Are you planning to head in and open the doors tomorrow? Are you taking precautions? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Sean, let's look at a couple different timelines now. Absent this order, what was our current progress on safer at home orders as we headed toward May 26th?
So absent this, the Evers administration had set up this, you know, what it called the Badger Bounce Back Plan. That's through a separate order. That may be, in fact, addressed by this opinion here, but I'm not sure that Badger Bounce Pack can exist without the power of the statewide health official to, you know, issue or pull back restrictions. But Badger Bounce Pack was looking at a few metrics, you know, hospital capacity, the percentage of daily positive cases. There were, if you went to the Badger Bounce Pack webpage, and I'm guessing it's still there, they had six gating metrics, they called it, that would allow the state to move into the next more open phase. And five of those six metrics had been met I think the one that gets a lot of attention for obvious reason is the percentage of positive COVID-19 cases had been on the decline over the past 14 days. The only one that had not been met as of today was a metric for flu-like symptoms that the state tracks, and that had just basically been flat. So the state was trending toward a gradual reopening, but even if Badger Bounce Back had been in place and those metrics had been met, the governor's plan did not call for an immediate reopening, which in theory we have now. It called for having, you know, partial capacity at restaurants, but bars would still be closed, for example. It's called for still limiting crowds to 10. It was not like flipping the switch. You always hear the governor talk about turning the dial. Well, this would have been a turn of the dial. And then as the state progressed, if testing capacity increased or the number of tests increased and positive tests stayed relatively low, more things would open up. But that's not what's happening here. And so, you know, as we talk right now, there's no restriction at the statewide level. And yeah, that's where we're at.
Here's an interesting point, Sean. The Wisconsin Association of School Boards thinks the ruling does not allow schools to reopen. I'm going to quote from their statement. We are still reviewing the opinion, but it appears to state that the ruling does not cover the portion of the order that covers school closings. That seems like it would be in a different category. Do we know yet, Sean, if this affects school closures?
I mean, that's pretty interesting, and they would know the situation better than most, and are obviously going to be keenly attuned to that portion of the order. I know when the governor initially closed down schools, when his administration closed down schools statewide, it was under a different order. They got folded in to safer at home, both in the initial order and then in this extension, which was just struck down by the state Supreme Court. So, you know, as I'm talking to you, it seems like an open question of what's going to happen here. I know the governor, when he was asked about schools last week, said pretty unambiguously that they were not going to reopen schools before the end of the school year, that they were working toward a reopening at the beginning of next year. And I know that even if you've heard Republicans talk about the need to reopen the state, they have not been really citing public schools as the reason they want to do it or the thing they want to reopen. They've been wanting to reopen businesses. I've not heard them say in, you know, press conferences, or they spoke to the state's business lobby today. They didn't talk about, we want to open all K-12 schools. So I'm not sure exactly what happens there, but they were definitely part of the executive order that was struck down by the court today.
Now, here's another statement from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the business group, and their president, Kurt Bauer. I'll quote a little bit of that. Today's decision, they say, is a win for the state's economy, countless businesses, and hundreds of thousands of unemployed Wisconsinites who are ready to get back to work. And they go on, WMC looks forward to working collaboratively with the legislature and Governor Evers to ensure the state begins its economic recovery in a safe and sustainable way so we can protect both lives and livelihoods. Now, there's a group that offered a roadmap to reopening. We had joined them on Wisconsin Public Radio in the past. What do we know from the plans they're offering and what we've heard from Republicans about the kind of rules they might want to put into place if they want to replace safer at home at all?
So the WMC plan did talk about a lot about how there are different case levels of COVID-19 depending on where you're at in Wisconsin. And there's going to be a lot more cases in Milwaukee, more recently in Brown County. But there are many parts of the state where caseload is low and that they shouldn't be treated the same as places where the cases are high. And that's sort of the premise of the WMC plan. But really, the WMC plan is a statewide reopening of businesses. It calls for more protective measures in places where cases are higher, but it does not say that if cases are higher, you can't open. So it's not regional in the sense that some counties are open, some counties are not. It's, you know, you take different precautions in some parts of the state, but everybody can open is basically the WMC plan. And you did hear this week really kind of an abrupt change of tune from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who had said for many weeks now, you know, that he wanted to have a regional approach to reopening. Voss said this week that it's time to get everyone in the state back to work. It was just kind of like a very abrupt statement, and it didn't seem to be ambiguous. I mean, he's saying that he wants a statewide reopening now. He kind of reiterated that today on a call with WMC. So that's where he's at, and that's where the WMC plan is at. If you really break it down, it is a statewide reopening. It's just what kind of guidance does the state give businesses?
This is Wisconsin Public Radio's special coverage of today's state Supreme Court decision overturning the governor's administration's safer at home order. We invited your calls at 800-642-1234. With your reactions, we'll go now to George with us in Ashland. George, hi.
Good evening. I'm up here in Ashland, not many cases up here in northern Wisconsin. And this morning, I was inclined to go out and try to support local businesses because the governor had eased up on restrictions of local business, particularly retail, and they need our support. But with this Supreme Court abrogation of the rules, there's no way to have any confidence in anybody's behavior. So now I'm just going to stay at home because I can't go support local business when I don't know how my fellow citizens are going to behave and whether people are coming from anywhere in the state for any purpose. So I hope the legislature will take an action to resolve this, put some guidelines in place that we will all follow and know how to have confidence in our fellow citizens.
George, thanks a lot for that call. Sean, he echoes a little bit some of the arguments from the Evers administration to the Supreme Court about the effects on health and on confidence in our health system if the safer at home order went away.
Yeah, and you know, I think everybody knows this is at the end of the day about COVID-19 and how the state deals with a pandemic. But it is interesting to see the language in the court decision kind of, on the one hand, talk about how serious it is and how important it is that the state address it. But on the other hand, you know, talk about how their decision is not about that pandemic, but about the rule of law, how they view the interpretation of administrative rules, whether the legislature has standing, you know, issues that are very technical in nature. And so that is what seems to be kind of underpinning the majority's decision in this case. But at the end of the day, there are now, you know, sort of those, not sort of, very tangible real-world consequences in that we don't really have a framework at this moment on how to handle this statewide.
We have State Senator Patrick Teston on the line now, Republican. Senator Teston, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What is your reaction, Senator Teston, to this ruling from the state Supreme Court?
So obviously, I just got home from Madison myself not too long ago, so I'm still kind of paging through things as things fly by
same
quick as possible. But I think by and large, I think the court made the right call and determined that the governor went beyond his powers, that the DHS secretary designee went above her authority. But more importantly, this gives the legislature a seat at the table. So hopefully we can work with the administration to open up our economy safely and hopefully taking a look at a regional approach as opposed to the one-size-fits-all that the original extension order had put into place.
Senator Teston, in theory, under this court ruling, any business could open up the doors, well, right now if they wanted to. If a constituent called you and said, hey, I'm a business owner, I have a business where people do by nature congregate, what would you suggest to them? Should they go full bore tomorrow? Should they ease into it? What do you think?
Well, I think that's going to be a determination made by each individual business, and I trust our business community that they're going to do whatever it takes to ensure that not only they and their employees are doing best practices to maintain social distancing, to also make sure that they're safe, but more importantly, to ensure that their customers are safe. And so I think by and large, just because of the nature of this, I think people are probably going to be a little gun shy just to open things up right away. So I think by and large, I think a number of people are going to have soft opens, and it's going to take some time to get us back to where we have any sense of normalcy. But I do believe this is going to be a decision that's going to have to be made by individual business owners. And then on top of that, the legislature, we're going to have to work with the administration to develop some guidelines to provide some clarity and guidance for these businesses. So they know that they're doing everything within their power to do things safely.
And briefly, before I let you get back to work, Senator Tustin, do you think that the legislature is going to work to try to expedite something, a different approach to replace the Safer at Home order?
I think all cards are on the table at this point. In fact, I'm hopping on a conference call here shortly with my Republican colleagues in the state Senate to discuss this court ruling, hopefully have a little bit more clarity, because I know from a few phone calls I've had so far, some people have some questions, and rightly so. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to have some more guidance for the general public. But more importantly, it's important to know that we have to do this wisely. We have to be smart about this and not just pull the Band-Aid off completely. And I think we can craft a plan working with the administration to do just that.
Senator Tustin, thanks for taking the time this evening.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio special coverage of the state Supreme Court decision. Sean Johnson with me, Rob Ferret. We just heard from State Senator Patrick Tustin, a Republican, about to meet, as we heard, Sean, with some of his colleagues to figure out what next.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing that I haven't really heard talked about, and maybe it's because it's just pure speculation, is that the legislature, can do kind of what it wants to do if it passes a law to allow it. It takes a long time to write a rule that goes through the committee that approves rules. And that was sort of an argument from the governor, is that if you do this, it's going to be so cumbersome, it's going to take weeks. In theory, and I'm just really, I stress that I'm thinking out loud
Sure.
here, the legislature can, they can waive those requirements. I mean, you think they can waive this requirement that says how much money the state has to have as a minimum balance in the state budget, for example. So if it's the legislative process, the legislature can exempt itself from stuff like that if it wants to. But there would need to be a will to do that. You know, the deal would have to be struck with the governor and with Republican leaders to do anything like that, where the legislature basically concedes any power.
We'll have more coverage of what comes next tomorrow on both networks of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Dirk is with us now in Madison. Dirk, hello.
Hi. Yeah. So I know the original justification for holding back on routine or non-emergency or life-saving surgeries, procedures, and things like that were based on preventing a big surge in the hospitals. Well, we're weeks and months into this, and we know, what level of hospitalizations, and we have, many, many, many patients with, probably thousands of procedures that are being held back, so patients aren't getting care. Medical workers are getting pay cuts, furloughs, losing shifts, losing money. The people we should rely on to be the heroes and essential workers are suffering. So we have government agencies who are listening to the experts who are recommending that we hold back. But when does that end? When do we start listening to the medical experts that say they can begin to get some more capacity?
Got it.
And that they can, hospitals aren't billing, they're losing money because they're not billing.
Dirk, thanks a lot for calling in. And Sean, I know medical procedures, some of them have started back up. I speak from some personal experience there, actually. Is there anything that changes as far as this order? I mean, in theory, if I run a healthcare system, I could full on open up just like any other industry under this court ruling.
Yeah, I mean, there's no restriction right now under this court ruling. As far as I know, that anybody who wants to return to normal kind of has to just weigh the situation on the ground, the public's willingness to return to normal against, I guess their own appetite mm-hmm. for risk. I will say that when it comes to like who people are listening to, the hospital association early on was definitely sounding the alarm on what could happen here in Wisconsin in terms of a surge of cases that overwhelms the system. I haven't heard them really out there saying, well, we need to turn this thing around now. But I do know that the assembly speaker at least said at this forum last week that the hospital association is somebody he listens to. That's one of the groups that he listens to in this. The Hospital Association and the nursing homes were two that he listed.
I want to jump in, Sean. We've got State Senator John Erpenbach, a Democrat, on the line with us now. Senator Erpenbach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
We heard earlier from Republican State Senator Patrick Teston. Senator Erpenbach, what is your response to this court ruling?
Not surprised at all. Everybody probably saw this coming. The question is, what's going to happen now? As it stands, everything can open up tonight, and some places probably will. But at the same time, local units of government, whether it be a county or even a city, has the ability right now to say, no, we're not going to open, which creates a whole new set of problems as far as patchwork around the state of Wisconsin is concerned. So it's frustrating that, you know, the Republican leadership ran to court rather than try and deal with this issue and look at the science and look at the numbers. But I'm not surprised at all that the court overruled the governor.
What do you worry about? What's going to happen next? What are your hopes for what could happen next?
Well, I hope people keep in mind that going to court and winning doesn't necessarily cure COVID-19, that people still need to stay safe, practice social distancing, and so on. And I would hope businesses who choose to open up would do the same thing as well. The legislature does have a remedy, but that would take about 20 days to come up with a sort of rulemaking process and have that go through what that needs to go through. But at the end of the day, we're not any safer necessarily than we were yesterday. The trends are good, and that is a good thing. And I think that, you know, a lot of credit goes to the Department of Health Services and Governor Evers for acting as quickly as they did. But again, this court ruling doesn't make anybody any safer today than they were yesterday.
Are you hopeful that you and Democrats in the legislature, Republicans in the legislature, and the Evers administration can come together with a plan to replace Safer at Home?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're always hopeful, but, you know, if you take a look at the history of what's been going on here in the state, whether it's dealing with the state budget or even, you know, sitting down and trying to figure out a plan to slowly turn the dial back up and open Wisconsin back up, the Republicans haven't really come to the table with any ideas at all. You know, they should have had a plan in place before they went to court, and they didn't. And now there's a lot of confusion. There'll be a little bit of chaos, and I can't stress this enough. Just because the court ruled the way it did today doesn't mean people are going to be safe when they go out. They still need to social distance. Businesses need to keep places clean and make sure that their customers who walk through the door are as safe as they possibly can be. But again, it's frustrating because there's nothing in place. We all knew the court was going to go this way. If you didn't, you haven't been paying attention to the elections of the Supreme Court lately. So it's frustrating, but hopefully, again, people will sit down and come up with a plan, and we can move on as quickly as we can to keep people as safe as we can.
Senator Erpenbach, thanks for joining us.
Sure.
And WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, thanks for being with us through this half hour.
Thanks, Rob.
We've been talking about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court's decision earlier today, released a 4-3 decision overturning the Safer at Home order. As you heard from Sean, as of now, there is no Safer at Home order in place. Questions about putting in something in place to take its place now in the future. Tune into both networks of Wisconsin Public Radio to find out more tomorrow. This is special coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio.